And I'm going to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to 31. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Good to see you. Amen. Good to have the Morrises home. Amen. From their journey. Good to see you. Good to have the Lowrys here. We've been missing y'all. Glad you're feeling a little better. At least good enough to be here, and thank you for making the effort. Amen. Praise God. You know, if some of you went by your feelings, you wouldn't be here, but I'm glad you are. Amen. All right. Sister Grissom.
We're going to announce the baby shower on
Sunday. Right, on Sunday. That's going to be right here. Amen. All right. Sunday, right after the service. I know that you probably are used to having steak every Sunday, but this one time just for the sake of fellowship and being a blessing, be with us and with our soup and sandwiches, and then you can go have your steak after, okay? But just stay with us and bring your gift, and let's be a blessing to Jason and Kimberly. They've sure been a blessing to us as a church family. Amen. All right. Reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." The fruit actually was a cluster of grapes that they actually had to carry on a stick between two men. That's a pretty good sized piece of fruit. Amen. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all the otherites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Amen. Well, who are you going to believe? Amen. Isaiah asked a question, "Whose report will you believe?" And then the refrain was, "We will believe the report of the Lord." Amen. Let me talk to you tonight about the five worst enemies of faith. Your enemies of faith. You have some enemies tonight that are warring against your faith. But let me tell you how to overcome some of those enemies here tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Dr. Willard Funk did a study about some expressive English words. The most bitter word, he said, is alone. The most reverent mother. The most tragic death. The most beautiful word was love. The most cruel word, revenge. The most peaceful word, tranquil. The saddest word was forgotten. The warmest, friendship. The coldest, no. But the one bringing the most comfort, faith. Faith. People of faith. I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. There was a study that was done by some scientists, and they found out that people of faith, whether they're in the hospital or whether they're not in the hospital, they fare better when they're sick. More of them are healed. And even those that are not healed seem to have less trouble. Amen. And they're able to carry on through their sickness better than people that have no faith. Faith is a valuable thing tonight. Amen. The word faith is found only twice in the Old Testament. but 245 times in the New Testament. The word believe with its various ending occurs 45 times in the Old Testament, 268 times in the New Testament. The word trust is another Old Testament word for faith and belief, and it's used with its various endings 154 times in the Old Testament and 35 times in the New Testament. So the Bible is full of this idea of faith, this idea of trust, this idea of believing. Amen. Praise God. The Bible has a definition for faith. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, verse 1 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Amen. Praise God. So what you have faith in simply is it's about confiding in, relying on, putting refuge or taking shelter in. All of those are synonyms for what we talk about when we say faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. The agnostic has faith. The atheist has faith. They just don't have faith in God. But they have faith. They ride on airplanes. It takes faith to get on an airplane, folks. Yes, it does. It takes faith to go to a doctor. Most of us, when we go to a doctor, we don't ask him to show us his credentials. He doesn't take us in his office and show us his degree and explain where he came from. We just trust that he's got one. Even it makes me nervous about practicing medicine, but nonetheless, it's what they do. Amen. And we just take it by faith. And all people have faith. Everybody has faith. Have faith in the electric company, in the automobile company. People have faith. But it's great tonight, and the greater thing is to have faith in God. That's the greatest kind of faith that there is. Amen. 10 men didn't have much faith. 2 men had great faith. They all went to the same place. They all ate the same fruit. They all saw the same things. They all looked through the same kind of eyes. But 2 of them looked with faith. Faith makes the difference in how you see things. Amen. Faith makes all the difference in how you see things. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. These 2 men had faith in God. 10 men did not. 10 men saw walled cities. They saw walled cities also. All they saw was giants in the land. But they saw giants also. Amen. But you see, faith looks beyond those things. Faith does not fail to recognize the challenge. Faith does not fail to see the obstacles. Faith sees all of those things just like everybody else does. Amen. Faith sees the difficulties, but it also sees something greater than that. It has faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You see, Caleb said, "We are well able to overcome it," because that's what God said. All he was doing was repeating what the Lord said. The Lord said, "I will give you the land." Hallelujah. The Lord said, "I will deliver them into your hand." He was just repeating what he heard God say. That's all you got to do, folks. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. This is how you develop your faith tonight. Is read His Word and believe His Word. Stand on His Word. That's all Caleb and Joshua were doing, was simply believing what God said. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but when people don't believe what I tell them, kind of hurts my feelings. That hurts your feelings when you tell somebody, say something, they say, "I don't believe that." Well, how do you think God feels when He says something and people say, "I don't believe that. That can't be right." Well, it is. I've never heard anything like that. Well, you have now. Amen. It'd be like the little boy drawing a picture of Jesus, and the teacher said, "Sonny, nobody knows what Jesus looks like." He said, "They will when I get through." Amen. So just because it's never been doesn't mean it'll never be. God said it, it's going to come to pass, folks. He's going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. So all the spies have the same opportunities. But two of them had faith. Two of them had faith. Amen. You know, sometimes God has a time limit on His promise. Did you know that Israel decided the next day after they said they wouldn't go, and they got upset with God, and they were going to stone Moses, and they grumbled and complained and griped. And the next day they said, "Well, I think we will go after all." And God said, "You better not. I'm not going with you." And some went and died for their trouble. There is a time in God's... You know, let me just say this tonight. You got to be careful about grumbling and complaining.
Yes, sir, you're right.
God judges grumbling and complaining. God doesn't like grumbling and complaining. Amen. Because He knows it's a discouraging aspect for His church. And so we have to be careful about that. We got to be careful about grumbling and complaining about things, and especially things that God promised He was going to do. Has God made us any promises lately? Has the Lord said He's going to do some things lately? Are we going to take His word? Amen. Are we going to believe what He said? Are we going to act on what He said? Are we going to hold on to what He said? Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, I'm not seeing it yet. Well, that's okay. You just hang on. His timing's not your time. Amen. Praise God. He may not do things the way you think He's going to do them. Hallelujah. God moves in His own way, and God moves in His own time. Amen. Now, remember a fellow by the name of Abraham? God said, "I'm going to make your seed like the sand by the seashore and like the stars of the heavens." Amen. You know what? Didn't happen right away. He got a little impatient. Got to thinking, well, maybe we misunderstood God. By this time, Sarah was not able to have children. She was not physically capable of having children anymore. So they decided, well, maybe He meant that through our handmaid, Hagar, you'll have children. So that wasn't what God said. That's exactly right. Amen. And so that got them in a lot of trouble. We're still having, they're fighting over there tonight because of this. Been fighting for years. Going to fight until Jesus comes. Amen. Now we're in the middle of it. It's not going to stop, folks. We're not going to be able to solve all of that. Amen. Nobody's been able to. You're not going to be able to. There's going to be peace when the Prince of Peace comes. And until then, we're going to have fighting and struggles. Amen, right? And so they tried another plan. They got impatient with God. Amen. I was reading, if you'd been doing your Bible reading, very interesting. The things that, how God worked all that out. Amen. Abraham, what was 86 when his first son was born? And then he was 100 when his promised son was born. His wife was 90 years old. Now that doesn't happen just every day. Amen. But when God says He's going to do something, hey, He's going to do it. Amen. It may not come exactly whenever you think it's going to, but He's going to do it. Amen. You can always believe in Him because God will do exactly what He said. Just believe His word. What happened to all those people that didn't believe the word of God? The Bible says that they died in the wilderness. You think about that. Over 40 years time, while they wandered around, they were continually having funerals. Did you know there was more than 1 million people? And at least 600,000 of them died over a period of just 40 years time. Funerals every day. Amen. Just because people didn't believe the word of God. It's dangerous to doubt. Amen. Hold on to the Word of God. Believe what He said. Hallelujah. And hold on to it and believe it, because it's going to come to pass. Amen. What are the five worst enemies of your faith? Let's see if we can find out. Sight, hearing, your senses, smell. How can smell? I'll tell you in a minute. Taste and touch. Those are the things that are hardest, because you see, this is what we've learned to trust. But we have our own sayings, things like, I can't believe my eyes. Ever heard that one? I can't believe my ears. Amen. And there's just something about it. You ever been in one of those little shops where they got all these pretty little things, and they got a little sign that says, beautiful to look at, lovely to hold, but if you break it, it's just been sold. You know why they put that in there? Because people got to touch things. They want to see if it's real. Amen. They want to find out. And they've learned by experience. It's people just have that thing about it. What happens when you go by and you see a sign that says wet paint? You want to touch that, just see if it's right. The waiter comes and he sets the plate down. He says, hot plate. What's the first thing you do? Check it out and see how hot it is. What's the first thing you do when somebody says, don't look? Don't look at what? It's just what we do. We are trained to trust our senses. And we do that. Now in God's realm, He goes beyond our senses. Faith is its own realm. I can imagine whenever Jesus got on board the boat and He turned to Peter and he said, cast your net on the other side of the boat and you're gonna catch fish. He said that to a lifetime fisherman, and he's a carpenter. Peter's thinking, he probably thought, well, you know, you're good at building stuff and you're a real good preacher and I really like your miracles, but you leave the fishing up to me. That's probably what he was thinking, but that's not what he said. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. Everybody say, at thy word.
At thy word.
At thy word.
Yes, sir.
I don't feel like worshiping tonight, but at thy word, I'm going to worship. I don't feel like going to church tonight, but because of your word, I'm going to go to church tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. My feelings, I'm not going by my feelings, but I'm going by what the word of the Lord says. At thy word, I will let down my net. Amen. Can you imagine the surprise of the servants when Mary turned to him and said, fill the water, whatever he says to do, just do it. Amen. And he said, fill these water pots to the brim. And the Bible says they filled them up to the brim. And then he turns around and he says, I want you to get a cup and draw some water out and take it to the governor of the feast. Now that is not hard to do. Except you're just wondering in the back of your mind what's going to happen when he drinks this water. And he's expecting wine. You see, it's never hard to obey God's word, because he never asks you to do anything that's all that hard. Can you carry a glass of water? It's not a real hard thing to do, is it? That's not difficult. And that's all he asked them to do. He did the rest. He planted the crop. He caused it to grow and crushed the grapes and made the wine in just a few instant seconds time while the water was getting to the governor's lips. God did the miracle. That's His business. Our job is just to do what He says. Amen. Just do what He says. Whatever He says, she said, just do it. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember when Jesus was in the tabernacle that day and He was teaching? And there was a man there with a withered hand. And the Lord said to him, he said, stretch forth your hand. You know, it's interesting. He didn't say which hand. He didn't say which hand. He had one hand that he could have easily stretched out. But you know what he did? He stretched out the one that it was impossible for him to stretch out. Amen. Something got a hold of him and said, you know what? I could do this easy, or I can do it hard. But if I'll go ahead and do it with my faith, I'll get my healing. Hallelujah. And so he stretched out that withered hand, and the Lord healed it and made it whole. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You see, you gotta just take him at his word. It's not hard to do what he says. Amen. It's not asking you to do something you can't do. It just sometimes involves faith. Just doing things his way and just going beyond the realm of what we normally would do and what we think we can do. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, we preached the other night from Hebrews 12 and mentioned Hebrews 11. What did they do? The Bible says that Abel offered a sacrifice. Noah prepared an ark, and Abraham offered up Isaac, and Moses left Egypt. You see, they all did something. That's what faith is. Faith is obeying. It's just simply obeying. You see, it's not hard, is it? Really, just obeying. That's all God asks you to do, is just do what he says. Amen. And so each of them simply did what the Lord said to do. Amen. Dr. J. Albaugh Sanders said this. He said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. To treat the future as the present and the invisible as seen. Isn't that what the Bible said about Abraham? That he left looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He went out looking after the Lord, following after God, found here no dwelling place. Amen. Moses, the Bible said he forsook Egypt. Yes, he did, believing and following after God because he believed God could give him a greater recompense of reward. And he did that. He followed after. Amen. Praise God. Faith always honors God. And there's certain kinds of faith that honor God greatly. There's a faith that will believe without encouragement from others. That's a great faith, isn't it? It just keeps on believing God. Abraham had that kind of faith. There wasn't anybody to encourage him. He was on a journey that he just heard God's voice and went out following after what the Lord said. You see, not everybody hears from God the same way you do, or God doesn't speak to everyone else the way he speaks to you. So there's a special way that you honor God when you just step out when he talks to you personally. Amen. When God speaks to you individually, and maybe somebody else didn't hear that voice. And so you step out, and you believe, and you follow after God. There is a faith that will believe without encouragement for others. There's a faith that will believe without encouragement from God himself. Isn't that what Job experienced? He said, I looked for him. I looked ahead. I couldn't find him. I looked behind. I couldn't see him. I saw stuff he was doing over on the right hand and the left, but I couldn't find him there. Everywhere he looked for God, he couldn't find God. Everything was going against him, and everything seemed to be going the opposite of the way that it was supposed to go. But Job said, he knows the way that I take. And when he has finished, I'll come forth as gold. You see, he had faith when he couldn't find God, didn't know what God was doing. He still trusted God. Didn't he say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? And that, you see, he even when he didn't get any encouragement from God himself, he kept believing. You remember the Syrophoenician woman whenever Jesus called her a dog, ignored her cries, ignored everything, And he said, it's not meet that I should take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she still didn't get discouraged. She had a faith that held on.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And whenever she got through, he said, oh, I hadn't seen this kind of faith. Not in Israel. Not in Israel. Not in that bunch of folks that have known me for years. Those people that have seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But I still have never seen this kind of faith. I've never seen the kind of faith that I just could not discourage. She just kept on believing and kept on holding on. There is a faith that believes without a previous experience. Amen. The Bible said God just simply told Noah, he said, build an ark. God, Noah said, what's an ark? Had never been one before. Never been a reason for one before. But he just stepped out and God told him how to do it and he just started doing it. That's faith, isn't it? What if God asked you to do something new that you'd never done before? What if God asked you to do something you've never even seen done before? What if God asked you to do something that never has been done before? You see, there's a faith that believes without previous experience. There's a faith that will just keep on believing. Amen. Even it has more faith in His Word than it does in His presence. I think about this centurion that came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick even at the point of death. Remember that? And the Lord said, I will come and heal him. And the man said, no. I'm not worthy that you should enter into my house. He said, but you just speak the word. Woo! Hallelujah. You just speak the word and it'll happen. My. You see, that's great faith, isn't it? Amen. Doesn't even require His presence. All it needs is His word. There's going to be times, folks, you're not going to feel His presence, but you can always believe His word. You can always believe His word. George Muller was like a lot of college students. Today, he really went to college. He wasn't much interested in his studies. He was more interested in girls, and he was more interested in parties and all of those kinds of things. But while he was studying at the university, he got to thinking about God. If you had known George Muller, you would have thought, that, you know, he'll never be a Christian. But he got to thinking about God. See, you don't know what's in people's heads. You know what people are thinking. Amen. You would never believe some of the people what they're thinking. That you look at them and you see an outward expression, but you know what's going on in here, and you don't know what's going on in here. So you just leave that up to the Lord. Amen. One day he got to thinking, he read in the Bible about asking, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And he got to thinking, I wonder if God would really give me something if I ask Him. And that question began to roll over and over in his mind and his heart. Some years passed by, he became a believer. And after he got married, he and his wife gave away every possession they had. And they said, we are going to trust God. And they gave away their stuff. And then he felt directed of the Lord to start an orphanage for children. And so he stepped out on April the 21st, 1836. He rented a building. And within a few days, he had 43 children to care for. And this is what he said. He made a pact with God. He said, we will never solicit funds. We'll never incur debts. Our financial accounts will be audited annually. And he said, we'll just pray and ask God to meet our needs. He never sent out a mailer asking for money. He never asked anybody for money. He just asked God to supply his need. Do you think God did that? God began to supply his needs, and his work began to grow. Starting out with 43 children in a rented building, they eventually had 5 new buildings. They had 110 full-time workers, 2,050 orphans that they cared for. And God never, ever let him down. Not one day did they ever do without food. But not only did they not do without food, this is what he asked for. He said, God, I want you not to just provide food, but I want 3 meals a day, every day. And he put white tablecloths for the evening meal and flowers in season. Every boy had 3 pairs of shoes and 3 suits. Every girl had 5 dresses. You see, they were not only taken care of, but they were abundantly provided for. And all through prayer. His friend visited and said to Muller, looks to me like you kind of live hand to mouth around here. He said, that's right, from God's hand to our mouth. From God's hand to our mouth. Amen. That's faith, folks. Amen. Had faith in God, and my, how God blessed him. How long did that last? 60 years. 60 years. God supplied every need. Amen. Praise God. You know what? If he'd do it for him, he'll do it for you. God is still in the supplying business. Amen. So you see, it's true. We can't believe our eyes, but we can believe God. We can't believe what we feel. Sometimes you're not going to feel much. And sometimes you're not going to like what you do feel. But you got to believe God anyway. Yes, sir. Amen. You see, the Bible said we walk not by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. What do you do whenever you're fearful? You just keep believing. What do you do when you feel discouraged? You just keep on going. Amen. You see, you don't do it by feeling. You don't just do it simply by what you hear. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff. You'll hear all kinds of things. You'll hear positive things and you'll hear negative things. Amen. You'll hear how God can't do something. I like that. Whenever Jesus that was faced with 5,000 men and their wives and their kids, and he said, we're going to feed them. You know what Philip did? He whipped out his pen and started figuring out how they couldn't do it. There's a lot of folks like that. Whenever you start talking about God doing something, they'll start telling you how and why God can't do it. At least not here. He might do it somewhere else, but he can't do it here. And maybe he's done it for somebody else, but he can't do it for us. It never has happened here before. So what? It's about time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If he's done it somewhere else, he'll do it here. If he hasn't done it somewhere else, he'll do it here. He's got to do something somewhere for the first time. Why not us? Why not now? Why not here? Hallelujah. Why can't we just go ahead and believe God for now? Praise the Lord. Amen. Just believe God. I think of Jesus when he went down to the tomb of Lazarus. You see, when he looked, what did he see? Well, he saw tears and he saw despair. And he saw anguish, and he saw hurt, and he saw disappointment, and he saw discouragement, and he saw despondency. And he saw a tomb, and when they rolled the stone away, he saw a lifeless body. He couldn't go by what he saw. What did he hear? He heard crying. He heard weeping. He heard wailing. He heard pain. He heard despair. He couldn't go by what he heard. He couldn't go by what he felt. You know, you can feel discouragement. Anybody ever felt discouraged? You ever walked in a place where you could, everything was just so despondent? You can feel that kind of an atmosphere. And that's the kind of atmosphere that was there that day. He couldn't go by what he felt. He couldn't go by what he smelled. Because when they rolled away the stench, death blew its stench in his face and said, "Jesus, it's too late. Even you can't do anything now. It's too late. It's too late." The taste of defeat was everywhere. Amen. But I love this portion from the book of John, chapter 11. It says, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes." Everybody say, "Lifted up his eyes." Hey, folks, there's times that's exactly what you've got to do. You can't look around you. You've got to lift up your eyes. Amen. You can't listen to what's going on. You've got to lift up your eyes. You can't trust your feelings. You've got to lift up your eyes. You can't trust the taste of defeat in your mouth. You've got to lift up your eyes. You can't trust your sense of smell. You've got to lift up your eyes. The Bible said he lifted up his eyes. He looked away from all of that. He looked up and saw the face of God. He looked up to the heavens where there was hope. And then he lifted up his voice. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Hallelujah. Amen. You see, you got there when you get a vision of the Lord, when you get a glimpse of God, when your faith touches heaven, it'll put words of faith in your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. And you'll begin to say things you wouldn't ordinarily say. Praise God. And there's power in the word of the Lord. There's power in negative words. I said there's power in ugly words. There is. Amen. If there's not power in words, why do people fight all the time? People call you fat. People call you ugly. People say bad things to you. Amen. If there's not any power in those words, then why does it hurt? Even if you know it's not true, it still hurts. Right? Sure it does. There's power in words. But there's power in words of faith. There's power in the word of God. Hallelujah. There's life in his words. He said, "My word," he said, "they are spirit and they are life." Amen. And so that's exactly what happened when he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Amen. Hallelujah. There was a stirring that went on. And all of a sudden, he struggled and sat up. And he was still bound in his grave clothes. I've always thought it'd be wonderful to be there and watch that. He bounced out like on a pogo stick. Stood there all wound up, grave clothes, mumbling something. Nobody could hear. Jesus said, "You, loose him. Let him go." The Lord wants you to get your hands on the miracle. He wants you to be involved in the miracle. Amen. So they started at the head and they got his head unwrapped. And when they got his eyes open, I'm telling you, they were flashing with life and excitement and snapping with life and excitement and joy. They got his mouth undone and he started to praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They got his hands unwrapped and they flew up. Hallelujah. Began to praise the Lord. They got his feet undone and he began to dance before the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Get your hands on a miracle tonight. Praise God. You know what we got to do? That's exactly the ministry we need to be in. Amen. Unwrapping folks. Hallelujah. Unwrapping people. They come in here all bound by all kinds of problems. Amen. All kinds of fears. All kinds of sicknesses. And all kinds of addictions. And all kinds of problems. Unwrap them tonight. Let them free. Hallelujah. Let the Lord work in their life. Let God do some miracles in our midst. Amen. Somebody said the other day, we got all talking about the problems we got around here. You know what those are? Those are opportunities for God to do miracles. Hallelujah. I said, those are opportunities for God to do miracles. Yes. Every time somebody gets sick, it's a healing that's waiting to happen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can still do great things if we'll trust Him. How about believing the Lord tonight? You're going to stand with me here? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, God wants to do some things for us. God's going to do some things for us. Hallelujah. It just takes one or two. Amen. It would be nice if everybody could believe. It'd be nice if everybody could get on board. It would be nice if everybody would. But if you don't, He's still going to do some good things. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. If you don't have your name on the prayer list, you need to get it on there. If you don't have your name on the fasting list, you need to get it on there. If you don't have your name on the Bible reading list, wherever it is, we don't have one, but anyway, you need to get your name on there. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a good time to change your life tonight. I don't know what it was like last year, but this is a brand new year. I don't know what it was like yesterday, but this is a brand new day. Amen. The beautiful thing about God is He lets you start all over again. He lets you begin all over again. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? People are not very good at that. People kind of lock you into your past. And whatever you were and whatever you've done, they kind of want you to stay like that for the rest of your life. Amen. But not God. God says, if you've fallen, get up. Amen. Come on. Don't stay there. We got things to do. We got places to go. We got people to be. Hallelujah. Get up. Let's go on from here. Amen. God is in the forgiving and the forgetting business. God is in the new creature business. That's what I like about Jesus. He's not into band-aids. The Bible said He doesn't just put a band-aid on you, but He makes you a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. That's God's way. That's what God wishes to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got some faith here tonight? Anybody want some faith here tonight? Amen. Why don't we come and raise our hands and stand for a moment here tonight, and let's just begin to bless the Lord, shall we? Let's just begin to thank God, because we believe He's going to do some great things this year. Amen. God, we're needing some miracles. We have some chronic illnesses here that need healings. We have brothers and sisters that really need healings tonight. Praise God. We have some loved ones that really need to be saved tonight. We have some people that we've been praying for, and we really want to see them saved tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. It may not look real good on the outside, but we don't see what You're doing on the inside. Hallelujah. Help us, God, to see them here, sitting on a pew with their hands lifted up. See them in an altar. Hallelujah. With their hands raised, tears of joy flowing down their cheeks, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. God, give us faith here tonight. Hallelujah. Give us faith here tonight. Hallelujah. Let us look away from the troubles of yesterday, and let us turn our eyes with faith. Hallelujah. With hope shining in our eyes. Praise God. With faith springing up in our soul like a song. Let us believe You today. Let us believe You for great things. Hallelujah. Let us believe You for great things. Let us believe You for great things. Let us believe You, God, for provisions. Hallelujah. For jobs that people need. Hallelujah. For employments. Hallelujah. For finances. Let us believe you, God, to mend homes and relationships. Hallelujah. Let's believe you tonight, God, for all good things. Hallelujah.
Is God for the men.